Glory to God. And then turn with me to Ephesians 6. Now, everything got started a few weeks back when we were reading from Ephesians 6. And I think I've got one more week, but at any rate, I'm going to end the series with these same verses. Ephesians 6 and 10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor." Everybody say whole armor. "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers." Against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand, to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." I want to ask you, how many of you have ever been a part of watching a Christian crumble and fail? I have too. Do you want to know what we were watching? We weren't watching the fact that they were weak and we're strong. We're watching the fact that they didn't take their armor. And so they were not strong enough to withstand in the evil day. How many of you have ever watched Christians and they didn't fail, they succeeded and they stood, and it just caused all of us to rejoice. Amen? Amen? And what's the difference between the two? The difference between the two is someone took up their armor. And you know what? They both needed armor. They both needed help. Amen. Do you realize that there are Christians today that are leaving the security of the anointing of heaven because they're not smart enough to know that they're weak? Amen. We need the armor because we're weak. Yeah. Nobody likes to say that. I'm weak. We want to say, I'm strong. Now again, I'm talking about that tension. But in our weakness, he's poured out his strength and makes us strong to overcome in all the issues of our life. But unless we get to that point where we know ourselves in the flesh and draw from a mighty God, more than likely we're going to fall right on our face. And so the scripture here tells us to take up the whole armor. Verse 14, "Having done all to stand," you've taken up your armor. "Having done all to stand, therefore," you've got your loins girt about with truth, "and having a breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith you're able to quench, all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is," see, everything comes back to the Word of God. Now, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21, you're just right there. Just turn back a couple of pages. "If so be that you've heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt." Now, I just made the comment that we're all weak. Now we're describing what that weakness is. We're all corrupt. You don't hear that much anymore. I said you don't hear that much anymore. That apart from God, we are corrupt. That's where we started. That's where our start was. It was natural for me to think ugly thoughts. It was natural for me to want to pop off my mouth at somebody. It was natural for me to be argumentative. It was natural for me to think ugly thoughts about people. It was natural until Jesus came into my life. And then something new began to happen on the inside of me. Something new happened on the inside of you. "Since you've heard of him, been taught of him," and of course the truth is in Jesus, "you're to put off the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt, according to the deceitful lusts, I don't know, do I dare say it? We were all full of lust. Have you noticed that the world is filled with lust? Have you noticed? Have you noticed if you have watched any kind of music videos? It's all full of. I'm talking about worldly videos. It's all full of lust. It's all full of lust. Our advertising, they fill it with lust on purpose. How many of you have seen the stupid Hardee's commercials? Stupid with a capital S. It's full of lust. That's exactly what it is. But you want to know something? That's where we all started. Without Jesus, that's where we are. Amen. And so he says, deceitful lust, be renewed in the spirit of your mind that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, who's going to put on the new man? You're going to put on the new man. God's not going to do that for you. God's done everything that he's going to do, everything that he needed to do for you to live a victorious life, he has already done it. Now, you're going to take the weapons of the warfare that Jesus hands to you, and you're going to overcome in the affairs of your life. You're going to overcome weakness. You're going to overcome lust. You're going to overcome being corrupt. You're going to overcome all of it. You're going to deal with your flesh and overcome by these weapons that God's given you. And all of these weapons are truth. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. All right. Wherefore, put away lying. You're going to overcome lying. How? By drawing unto God and learning how to work with your hands. Work is godly. I want to say it again. Work is godly. Elaine and I have gotten acquainted with a relative up in Wisconsin, and he, in his latter days, has developed a foundation. He's giving his money away, made lots of it. And in this, the whole purpose for this foundation is to teach people about the glory of God in our work. Because somehow or another, people don't understand that productivity is a form of godliness. Being productive. God, when he created the heavens and the earth, he steps back and he says, it's very good. When I was in my home improvement business, I'd step back after the job was all finished. I'd step back and I'd look at it. And you know what I found myself doing? That is really good. And I didn't realize that in me that I had just expressed was a godly form of worship. Nor did I realize what it was going to do for me because it was something that the Lord built ministry out of its success. For 20 years, we had our tent making job while the church was getting set up and then ready to take care of us. It was a godly thing. Had no idea about it. And in this day and age, we have so many people who don't know the glory of God in work and don't know what it means to be productive and to feel productive in their life. Amen. Well, that's another story. I could go there real quick. Now, we have admonition in the Scripture to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I was just reading a verse of Scripture, and I didn't read the very last Scripture that I wanted to read in verse 27, where it says, neither give place to the devil. Now, if the devil has a place in our life, guess who opened the door for him? And if the devil doesn't have a place in our life, guess who closed the door? Someone says, well, God. No. God's given you the weapons of your warfare. He's given you an armor to wear. But you're the one, You're the one who, like Bobby Joe, is going to stand against fear and watch fear back away from her. Yeah. Because she took up her armor. The armor was wrapped around the Word of God. Well, the armor was the Word of God. Amen. Amen. So we have an admonition in the Scripture to be strong in the Lord. Ephesians 1 tells us that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which was wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world that is to come, and hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head of the church. Now, if that's the case, and it is the case, He's put all things under Jesus' feet, gave Him to be the head over all things in the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. How is it that believers who've been given authority look as though that they're the tail instead of the head? That they're below instead of above? How is that? Now, Brother Hagin said this. He said, whether or not believers are victorious over the devil depends on what view they have of themselves. It all depends on how well they understand their position in Christ. The militant church depicts a body of believers who aren't yet seated in heavenly places in Christ. They're still trying to battle it out, all right? The defeated church gives us a picture of the church that's ignorant of the fact that they're seated with Christ Jesus, and they're supposed to be reigning in life through Christ. But because they're ignorant of their position, they've never used the authority that they possess, the authority that's theirs. And these believers are constantly ravaged by the wiles of Satan and are in a constant state of failure and defeat. Now, that's the defeated church. Brother Hagin also said, but the church triumphant is the biblical perspective of the body of Christ seated with Christ in heavenly places. The church is scripturally portraying a body of believers who not only knows but exercises their authority in Christ Jesus and therefore reigns victorious in their life through Christ Jesus. Amen. That's the biblical perspective. And there are two areas that we're prone to miss it in that give Satan a footing in our lives. First is the eyes of our understanding. Our armor is knowledge. Your ignorance is what defeats you. Our armor is knowledge, the knowledge of God. And your ignorance of the Word of God is what defeats you. Now, I had a very interesting thing that happened years ago. I was a teenager, as a matter of fact. There was a gentleman outside of Tolono that was big on scouts, and I got an invitation to come and go through a life-saving course. It was an excellent life-saving course. And Tom was about 230 pounds, 240 pounds, and to pass the course, you had to save him. I was, at that time, I think I might have been 100 pounds. So he outweighed me by 130 pounds. And so now when we first started this course, of course, he jumps in and he says, now someone try to save me. And someone jumped in there to try to save him, and he just pulled him down with him. And he pops up and he says, more people drowned trying to save people. Yeah, it's the truth. It's the truth. But by the time he was done with every one of us, I think about the fact he taught us how to hold a person and how to approach a person. And so you approach them in such a way as you come up behind them and you hold them in such a way as you have a grip on their back, around their head and their neck. And he tried his best to drown us. And this 100-pound person saved Tom. Isn't that something? The truth was, it was the knowledge that gave me the ability to do that. And the same thing is true concerning your relationship with God and the devil. For you to be victorious over the devil, the real thing that's going to save you is your knowledge of the Word. And here's an issue where ignorance is not blessed. And the more word you and understanding that you have of the Scripture, the better off that you're going to be. So there's two areas that we're prone to miss it in. Number one is the eyes of our understanding or the knowledge of the Word. Our best weapon is the truth of the Scriptures. Amen? Ephesians 4 tells us neither give place to the devil. Neither give place to the devil. And that, of course, is the reason why we've been talking about these issues. I neither give place to the devil. I think about that and I think of Gray Guy. Gray Guy was a cat. Gray Guy was the funnest cat. It was Muffins. I think it was Muffins. Was it Muffin's sibling or was it the generation before Muffin? I think it was the generation before Muffin. But they had the same mother. Okay? And so Gray Guy, he was this beautiful, long cat, short-haired, but kind of long and lanky, you know. And he was such a gentle cat. And that gentleness was his demise. Because when he would get in a fight, he would just cower down. That's the wrong thing to do. And so we don't know when it was that we lost him, but we lost him. Elena'd grab him, and he was just content to be in her arm right here as she was, you know, she always did her little workout in the yard, and you could watch her. She's got a shovel in one hand and Gray Guy in the other, and they're just kind of going down the yard. That's, you know, we just love that little cat. But he gave place. He gave place. And it cost him his life. You know, you can't give place to Satan. You can't give place to your fears. Amen. You can't give place to evil. You can't subject yourself to it. You have to resist it, or it will be your demise. Now, it would help us, I think, to go through some basic scriptures. For example, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 talks about the God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. Spirit, soul, and body. Say it out loud. Spirit, soul, and body. Now, I feel the need to do this. I've done this many times, but I feel the need to do this, especially with our young ones. Now, here's Maddie. Maddie is a precious young lady. Now, Maddie, stand up here with me, please. Little sweetie girl, stand up here with me. There you go. Now, how old are you, Maddie girl?
8.
She's 8 years old, and she looks like an 8-year-old girl. But you know, on the inside of this 8-year-old girl is a spirit being called Madison Wilkie. Spirit is inside the body. Yeah, she's getting all embarrassed, you know, because I'm talking about her. But her spirit is the part of us, is a part of her that we can, see, I can touch the outward Maddie, but the only way that I can touch the inward Maddie is by sharing love and by sharing the Scripture. You can sit down. You can sit down. And that's kind of embarrassing for people. You know, just a few minutes ago, I said something to Maddie's sister, and I could tell it embarrassed her because I was touching her heart. You know. Now, when we're talking about these issues, we have to understand that we are we have a body, but we are not a body. And one day, you know what? I'm going to step off of this earth and into the eternities, and this body is I'm going to shed it the juju bugs. The cicada, thank you. Like the cicada would leave the body, you know? It won't be very pretty for you to have to deal with that, but you know what? It's going to be real happy for me. Because my spirit lives. In him I move and have my being. In him, amen. And to be with Christ is far better, the scripture says. Now, I know you don't like to think about those kind of thoughts, but I say that only to remind you that Satan will do his best to use your five physical senses against you. I mean, we see it over and over again in the church, you know, I'm in love, and they do stupid things because they're in love. What's going on? They're not listening to their spirit. They're flowing in the flesh. And you know what? Right here and right now, every one of you have a flesh that you have to deal with. Yes, amen. Amen. And the devil will do his best to use your five physical senses, your flesh part, to defeat you. And your own unredeemed soul. Now that's our thinking. That's our thinking. If the devil can get you to think like the world, even if you are a Christian, he can defeat you. If the devil can get you to think the same thought, turn with me to Psalms 1. If he can get us to think like the world, we're gonna be more like the world than we are like Christ. When all along on the inside of us, we've been born again and we have the image of Christ on the inside of us. Notice what it says, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. What's that mean? That means you don't listen to the ungodly. You don't think their thoughts. You don't accept their suppositions in life. Amen. I've had a few very intelligent people say some things that I didn't know how to deal with. But I wasn't a part. I wasn't moved. I wasn't moved just because I couldn't answer those questions. I wasn't moved to ever think their thoughts. Because I know where I am. I may not be able to articulate perfectly in given situations. And just because someone sounds real good with their presuppositions about life doesn't change me. I'm not going to think their thoughts. Amen. Not ever. Amen. I said not ever. Amen. We've just watched the United States move in a certain area because they've been thinking the wrong thoughts. Amen. Soulish. Well, so here we are in Psalms 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners. You're not on their path at all. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, what is our delight? Our delight is in the law of the Lord. Now, Satan would like nothing better than to use your own unredeemed soul against you. That's why one of the greatest things that you can do in your life is to renew your mind with the Word of God. Renew your mind with the Word of God. Amen. So, and we've got to learn to let the spirit man control us, not our flesh, and not our unrenewed mind. Now, much of what's being called demonic or devilish is nothing more in the church world today. It's not demons at all. It's unregenerated souls and the flesh dominating people. Amen. And it's not the outward man. It's not the outward man that's born again. It's not the soul of man that's born again. It's the spirit of man that's born again. And the moment we get a spirit born again, that's when the fight begins. Amen. When I got saved, there was a big war going on the inside of Ken. Because now I was confronted with things that I used to always do, and I know that that's not what I'm supposed to do, and the war is on. We were just talking to Steve about a war that's going on the inside of him. Yeah. Well, What's the answer to that war? Renew your mind. Amen. Amen. Stand on the word. Renew your mind. Praise the Lord. All things have not become new in our lives when it comes to our body. What became new was what was going on the inside of our spirit. And so there are desires in our flesh, Christians. There are desires in our flesh that are carnal. They're not godly. And every Christian will have to deal with those parts of us that are not renewed according to the Word of God. Amen. I wish you would put this in your heart and keep it there. Let God be God and every man a liar. Include yourself in that last part. Let God be God and every man a liar. What do you mean, Pastor Ken? Quit banking on what men say. Quit banking on what you say. Bank on what God says. What does God say about my life? Amen. I hear people, even Christians, talk about, well, it's in my genes. You know, this was in my daddy, my granddaddy, my great-granddaddy. What does God's word say about that? What does God's word say about your work? What does God's word say about your family? Let's just let God be God. Only God is God. You know what? The devil is not your God. Your friends are not your God. Your boyfriend is not your God. Hello? Your girlfriend is not your God. Your doctor is not your God. Your pastor is not your God. Only God is God. Amen. Absolutely the truth. Absolutely the truth. So we're going to have to deal with desires, wrong desires on the inside. That doesn't mean I'm a terrible Christian. You're such a terrible Christian to think such a terrible thought. I don't know how many times I've ever heard that. No, you're a human being who has a soul that needs to be renewed. You're a spirit being who needs to live according to the Word of God. Amen, amen, amen. Here's James chapter 1 for that. James chapter 1, verse 21. He's talking to believers. Everybody say believers. You know, I was really struck by this years and years ago. It really helped me because I'm in the middle of that battle and that war, you know. I knew there were things that God didn't want me to do, and my flesh wanted to do those things. You know what I mean by that? And I thought I was just some terrible Joe, and of course, those were the days when the enemy is really pouring out his accusation, and he's trying to steal, kill, and destroy the thing that God had sowed on the inside of me. And so I found this scripture. I thought, oh, this is amazing. Wherefore, he's talking to the church, lay apart all filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. Now, you know, years ago, the old preachers would talk about the soul like we talk about our spirit. And so they would say when somebody was born again or received Jesus their Lord, they would say, a soul got saved. No, a soul didn't get saved. A spirit was born again. But that soul, it was going to take a while for that soul to have any kind of change on the inside of it. Amen. It was going to be even longer for the flesh to change after the spirit had received Jesus. See, James is speaking to believers when he said their souls needed to be saved. They were born again. They needed to do something with their souls. And they definitely needed to do something with their bodies. And the soul and the body followed after the person was born again. The baptism in the Holy Spirit, that's not a mental exercise. That happens in the Spirit. And see, whether we're talking about being born again or whether we're talking about being filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking with other tongues, these are spiritual experiences that happen in the Spirit. Amen. And as born again and even Spirit-filled believers, we still must allow the Word to become engrafted in us so that our soul, our mind, will, and intellect will be changed. The new birth is instantaneous, but the saving of the soul is a lifelong process. Amen. This idea of engrafted means to implant. It's the idea of the seed rooting itself and growing. It speaks of a process of time, not something that's instant. Amen? And that word save is sozo. It means to save, deliver, protect, heal, preserve, to make well, to make whole. And to allow the Word of God to become implanted in our mind will save our will, our emotions, amen, our intellect. It will save, it will change us so that we're thinking like God thinks. And you know what? Our biggest problem is when we don't think like God thinks. God's waiting for Daniel to come up and be like him in his thinking, in his feeling, his emotions. God's waiting for Ken to come up and be like him. I've been born again and I'm closer, but I ain't done yet. Amen? Amen? Now, any restoration that must be done after we've been born again, it would, of course, have to be in our soul and not in our spirit, because our spirit is born again in the nature and the image of Jesus Christ. And simple associations can bring thoughts back that have been dormant for years. Now, I could sing a little jingle, hold the pickles and the special. Yeah. How long ago was that? Huh? Have you noticed that when you think about those kind of associations, I remember working at the pizza parlor when the Beatles were singing, Hey Jude. I won't go any farther. And when I hear songs like that, these feelings come with it. Have you ever noticed that? Associations. Associations can be smells. Amen. It can be music. And it brings that whole, it's almost like being there all over again. Yeah. Everybody say associations. Yeah. And so there are triggers on the inside of us, natural triggers that the enemy will use to try to bring us back. And those are areas that we have to renew our mind in. Amen. We've got to allow the Word to become so engrafted that it changes our very emotion, the way we will things. I'm 1,000 times stronger in my will than I ever was in my earlier life. I'm 1,000 times stronger. Amen. Why? The Word's become engrafted. And then after the Word becomes engrafted, we have to do the Word. Church, we've got to do the Word. I want you to understand something. There are no blessing apart from doing the Word. Oh, you might get along for a little while under the mercy of God, but sooner or later, the crash will come unless you become a doer of the Word of God. Our best defense against the devil is to be strong in the Lord by hearing and doing the Word of God. And as you keep your soul strong and renewed with the life-giving power of the Word, it will develop you in love. It will develop you in authority and power. God's not given me this, the spirit of fear, but he's given me love. He's given me authority or power. He's given me a strong, sound mind. He'll develop us in right thinking. You'll find it easier to resist the devil. But you're going to have to be a doer of the word before it'll profit you. And that puts the responsibility on us. Amen. If Satan is going to have an inroad in our life, guess who we can blame? No use blaming it on Satan. He gets all the blame. But the truth is, you're the one that's in control. You let him have control, or you're going to follow God, one or the other. Amen. So that's why the Bible says, give no place to the devil. You is the understood statement there. You give no place to the devil. And you receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to change your soul. Now, the major way that believers close the door to the devil is they get their minds renewed by the word of God. Not casting the devil out of somebody. Now, I've done that. And usually those were people who didn't know how to do the other. But for the church, it's amazing what happens just by keeping ourselves filled with the Word of God. Change just happens in small increments. We don't know where it started and where it's finishing. Amen. It's the major way. Renewing our mind and practice doing the Word of God. Now, there are, in fact, a lot of Christians running around like chickens with their head cut off, trying to cast devils out of believers when the problem is not demonic at all. It's soulish. Amen. Believers have never learned to renew their mind, and they continue to think as they were before they were saved. Amen. If a believer doesn't deal with his soul and his body, he's going to continually keep a door open to Satan in his life. Amen. And his life will look more like the sinner than it does the saint. And guess who gets the blame for such Christians? Jesus does. When the truth is, it's the Christians who are not doing their responsibility. Amen. Psalms 123 says, now you know these verses, verse 1 through 3, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still water. He restoreth my soul. He restoreth my soul. Our shepherd has purchased an eternal salvation that reaches into every area of our existence. Our spirits have been born again, and our souls are to be restored. Amen. Now that word restore means to recover, rescue, reverse, renew, renovate, or make new. Much of our counseling today, I want to say it again, much of our counseling today encourages dependency upon people. And unless the Word of God is given, unless truth is received, there's no power to be free. But the renewing of the mind brings us to the knowledge of God, and that truth, when received, makes you free indeed. Amen. So the renewed mind and keeping your body under, amen, keeping your body under subjection, I could use that word, it means to control your body and your flesh with its appetites, to think in line with the Word of God, living with your spirit in control, not your body or your mind. That's the answer of how we keep the door closed on the devil. I think about the old illustration you've heard me use, the lion and the puppy. The lion and the puppy. And so as parents, we have to learn how to use that lion and that puppy illustration with our kids. If you want good kids, how do you develop good kids? Well, you feed the spirit and you starve the lion How do we starve the lion? I want ice cream. That's the time they don't get ice cream. I want to do this right now. That's the time to starve the lion. Yeah. Hello, anyone out there? Yeah. You're not going to make me do that. Guess what time it is? It's time to make them do that. Amen. Of course, this works with us as well. You starve the lion, that's the flesh that's crying for attention, you know. You starve it, you feed the puppy. That's our spirit. That's our spirit. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's the responsibility of every saint to feed his spirit, renew his mind, and control his body. Now, I've got a ton of things that I'd like to say to you, and I'm already out of time. I'm going to read to you something that Brother Hagin said years ago. God wants, say it out loud with me, God wants submitted bodies and transformed minds. That's the greatest defense against Satan. I want to say it again. God wants submitted bodies and transformed minds. That's the greatest defense against Satan. To actively read, study, think upon, speak, and dwell upon the Word of God. That's the idea behind our Bible studies on Wednesday night. That's the idea behind what we're going to be doing this week for Vacation Bible School. We're trying to feed the Spirit. Amen. Amen. Teaching children how to submit to God and not their flesh. You know, right now, I've been preaching a little long. The little bottoms are getting, you know, they're getting all over the place. Yeah. I know I should sit still, but I can't sit still. You know, I'm not making fun of the kids because the adults do it too. They get their cell phone out. They got a fiddle. Hello, anyone out there? I want to say it one more time. God wants submitted bodies and transformed minds. That's the greatest defense against Satan. I want to say it one more time and then I'll stop. Keep saying it till you believe it. God wants submitted bodies and transformed minds. Now what is the picture of Christian maturity in our lives? Let me tell you what it is. It's someone constantly doing what the Bible says to do instead of what they want to do. Amen. Just a thought. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you're the one that wants us strong in your power, and you've given us weapons of our warfare. And I pray, Father God, that our people here will be those that are employed in using your word, developing themselves in your word, feeding on the word, and that the knowledge of your truth would truly make them free in every area of their life. I ask your blessing upon that, and everybody said with me, amen.